Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's hard to believe that it's been 30 years since one of the biggest records in rock music was produced. I'm talking about the album Hysteria and, of course, the band Def Leppard. British metal bands produced 11 studio albums and has sold 100 million of them, which is crazy. Think of all the music, the songs, Pour Some Sugar on Me, Love Bites, Photograph, Rock of Ages, Foolin', Hysteria, Let's Get Rocked, and so many more. For all the triumphs of this band, Def Leppard has seen their share of tragedy as well, but it hasn't slowed them down. They're currently on tour and coming back to Chicago this weekend for a show at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park. They will rock the stage with Poison and Tesla, and they'll be releasing a 30-year anniversary deluxe box set edition of Hysteria coming up in August for the anniversary. Joining me tonight is guitarist Phil Collin. He's also known as the Shirtless Wonder. Collin has also written a memoir called Adrenalized, Life, Def Leppard, and Beyond, and he joins us now. Phil, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Pleasure. Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Coming just back to Chicago to play. I mean, you're playing Tinley Park. Talk about, you know, the band's been here so many times. I was just looking at all of the different amphitheaters and places that you've played. What are your fondest memories of bringing Def Leppard through Chicago?
Well, you know, it's the home of the blues, electric blues, you know, when it actually, you know, Chicago blues and everything. And that's really where everything kind of started off anyway, the Delta blues. And they went to Chicago and it turned into something else and influenced something else. Always really special, you know, just based on that, and so much more as well. We've had such great shows in Chicago. We actually played the night of the Y2K, you know, when they say everyone said it's all gonna, the world's gonna end, and that, you know, we were actually playing, I think, the Rosemont, you know,
right,
that night, and it went great. You know, everyone else had a pretty rough time that night, I think. You know, everyone said that no one turned up to a lot of the shows, but we had a outstanding night in Chicago. So there's so many, you know, just great memories of just being in Chicago, you know, sitting down there by the water and stuff like that. Last time we were there, it's just great, and we just love playing. And obviously the crowds, you know, keep showing up. It's amazing.
Well, I know myself, just growing up in the area, I mean, it was, you get the golden ticket if you go see Def Leppard in the summertime coming through. It's amazing to think it's been 30 years since the record Hysteria. Take us back to that summer. I mean, you guys were coming off of Pyromania. You had success. People were anticipating what was next. Take us to that moment. Take us to, you know, the studios and putting together Hysteria and what you guys thought you were going to get out of it.
Okay, so the main thing, you know, we had such huge success with Pyromania. Our producer, Mutt Langer, said, everyone else is making Pyromania Part 2. We mustn't do that. So we just got to make something even more special. I mean, his whole thing was do a rock version of Thriller, you know, where it would kind of cross over into the pop market, you know, top 40, which it did. You know, we had 7 singles off of it, and just the approach was different. He said, we've got to work harder, the songs have got to be better, they've got to be more kind of universal in general. They can't just be like the rock thing, it has to be that and so much more. So you know, it worked. I mean, it really did. We listened to his whole philosophy on it, and you know, he wrote all the songs with us and had this absolute plan what this record should sound like. And when we first released it, a lot of people didn't like it. They didn't understand it. They go, well, it's, you know, it's not rock and it's something else. They didn't quite get it. And then, you know, Pour Some Sugar on Me come out, and
yeah,
you know, it became a hit in the strip clubs, actually. All the strippers started, you know, requesting it in the Florida local radio stations. And it just went on from there, you know, it kind of just, and obviously our biggest album. And now looking back at it, it was so diverse. It was, you know, it had all these singles on, but it was a rock album. It was a pop album. And yeah, it was like Thriller, you know, that wasn't just to the R&B market. That crossed over into so many different genres for Michael Jackson. And, you know, and it was the biggest album of all time at that point. And so, you know, we had a blueprint, and that was really it. Mutt Lange's kind of blueprint to, you know, Michael Jackson's Thriller, and it worked a treat.
And you think about that record, and a lot of what Def Leppard has done throughout the years, but when you think back to that time, you think about the production, you think about the guitar, you think about you and Steve Clark and creating that sound, which is now known as the Def Leppard sound. Talk about that experience, about being in the studio and learning to essentially, you know, be able to play off each other and create a richer, more thorough guitar sound.
Steve was always into not wanting to sound like everyone else. And everyone, especially with two guitars in their bands, they follow a stock or a standard kind of philosophy, you know, when they go and record. And it's kind of boring, you know. So Steve was always like, you know, if we had an orchestra, actually taking a kind of leaf out of Brian May from Queen's book, you know, he just multi-track like crazy, you know. So we would do that. We had two guitar players, and we never really played the same thing. One would be playing... You know, Steve had this thing called harmony chords, which on a keyboard or you know, orchestra, you do that all the time. But, you know, with guitar players, they don't necessarily do that. And then, you know, with Mutt Lange involved, you know, you'd have these, you know, counter melodies and counter rhythms and grooves all going off. So there's so much to do within the confines of a rock kind of format that you could actually do and no one was actually doing. So that's what we developed, me and Steve, yeah. And along with Mutt as well, obviously. Just made this kind of wall, and the whole thing, you know, you mustn't lose the melody. You know, you can get gratuitous, and I hear a lot of bands, you know, they have all these harmonies and stuff, and you lose the melody. But that's always got to stay true, you know, and you just kind of get around that and just make it interesting. We had so much kind of ear candy going off, but the approach actually really kind of solidified, and we got our own sound, and all of a sudden it had this thing that no one else had, and that was the dual guitar thing. So it was awesome. We to this day we still do that, you know.
Yeah, you know, the lot of documented about trying to retain that sound after Steve's untimely passing. Talk about that. I mean, you being part of the Terror Twins and having this relationship with another guitar player in a band and creating a sound that really is hard to replicate. Talk about what it meant to you, because I know it was a tough time for you, not only losing a friend, but being in a band with expectations to continue that sound.
So we never really thought from a band point of view. I mean, Steve was my best friend, so it was all of us, actually. It was never really about it. And when Rick had his accident as well, it was never really about, well, what about the band? You know, how do we think about that? It was always about the family, the, you know, the personalities in that. So that always kind of preceded everything else. And the band and the music kind of just fell in naturally. And I think that was one of the reasons why we're still around. You know, it's kind of, it's us first, and then we're lucky to kind of, it works in a musical kind of sense as well. And I think, you know, with a lot of other bands, you know, they argue, they have all this other stuff going off. And it kind of influences that, you know. With us, it's a joy, you know, it's a real joy to play this music that we've written. You know, just been writing a new song over the weekend, and we hope to have some stuff out for next year. And I'm thrilled with it. I'm thrilled with writing. I'm thrilled with, you know, playing it to the rest of the guys in the band. And just kind of, it works a lot different to other bands and the way they function. You know, I just produced the new Tesla album, and the way we approached that was exactly that way. I basically joined the band for a year and a half while we were on tour, and we've had such the best time, you know, just being creative and being totally inspired by each other. And that's the way to do it, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's instead of sitting in a studio, you know, and yeah, approaching right. it different with, you know, it's horrible. So when you get inspired, it's a completely different thing. And that's really what we had with the Def Leppard thing. And even when Steve passed, he was still part of the band, you know, massively. He still is, you know. And it's, you know, I think about him all the time. And he, even like musically as well, he's still part of the whole thing.
Steve and also Rick's accident, which was highly publicized, of course, because he lost an arm. What I hear about and I read about when I think of Def Leppard is, like you said, loyalty and family. There was no push to push Rick out of the band. Like you just said, you still honor Steve. You still consider him to be part of the band. Talk about how important it is for you to honor your friendships and how that plays into the Def Leppard legacy.
It's why we're here. I mean, it's the one thing, you know, everyone goes, well, how come you guys, you're still around and you have this integrity and what's that all about? And that's what it is. We put that first. And I think if you put kind of a business plan before a friendship human plan, you're going to run into problems. And we've never had that. You know, we've always, like when Rick had his accident, we're like, dude, what do you want to do? And he said, I'm going to practice on the edge of my bed and, you know, I'm going to use this foot instead of this limb. And it's like, well, okay, you're on. And then he learned to play drums. He learned to do a lot of things. You know, he learned to tie shoelaces, you know, cut a loaf of bread, all this crazy stuff that you know, we take for granted. And then when he was ready, he said, okay, I'm good to go. He initially wanted to take another drummer out as well, but we rehearsed with one and done like, I think we didn't even get to do one gig because the guy missed his flight. And, It just worked out, and you know that you put that first, and it's funny how everything falls into place, and that certainly did with us. And again, going back to this tour that we're on now, it's been ultra successful. You know, us, Tesla, and Poison, and I've actually been saying, you know, the reason it's kicking is it's a celebration of integrity. So all three bands, it's pretty much original members. It's not like a karaoke version of Poison.
Right.
It's the same four guys that came out, and with Tesla, it's the same guys. And, you know, apart from Steve, it's the same guys that brought you Pyromania and, you know, Hysteria. So it's loyal to that. And I think that there's a reason why that's successful. And it really comes down to integrity. We really mean it. And I think everyone kind of sees that. It's not kind of this kind of fake, kind of washed out version of these bands.
Well,
it's a real deal.
I think of integrity, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, I went yesterday and today to say I'm very excited to listen to Def Leppard. I put on my Apple Music and my Spotify, and there's no Def Leppard. I mean, there's other little tracks here and there, and there's a couple re-recorded tracks. And I started digging into the story, and, you know, in a way that you mentioned integrity, you don't like the deal that was given to you by the record company or by the streaming sites, and you said, you know what, instead of putting all of our great stuff that we've accrued over the years on Apple, we'll start to re-record it. Talk about your relationship with the new digital world and trying to keep that integrity.
Prince was great, you know, with that whole thing. You know, he refused to kind of let that, obviously it came out after he died and everything. But if you believe in your music and you put that first, that, like I said, everything else kind of falls into place. You know, it's like if you cheap out or you sell out, it's pretty obvious. I mean, I would love it if we could come to some kind of deal with our record company where it was a favorable deal to both parties, and then we could release this stuff worldwide, and it'd be really cool. I'd like that, but we'll see. You'll absolutely see. I'm totally happy where we are right now. We're getting new music, and I love the approach of the way that we do that. You know, it's not sellout; it's real and it is integrity. And that's everything. It really it kind of helps us out, and like I said, it's the reason why people keep coming back to it.
Well,
you know?
I mean, in reading the articles about the deal and the idea that you guys are getting less money than you know, like you're not even getting a 50-50 split with Universal for digital money. I mean, I think every fan, every music lover would understand what Def Leppard meant to Universal Records and to the music industry in the 80s. I mean, you essentially propped it up, you and Bon Jovi and other bands like that. So the idea that you're being treated like a pop star who just is releasing their first record in the digital world is somewhat alarming to me as a music fan.
Thank you. I totally agree with you. And it's like, you know, we're still here. And the other thing is, it would be a joy for a label or a business to have a band that's prepared to promote, tour like crazy, you know, do promo like crazy. And we'd do everything. You know, we actually believe in what we do. And I think, you know, as a business model, and someone, you know, would me personally, if I was a label, I'd go, wow, this is great. These guys are up to doing this. What a great deal for us. So we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah.
But, we promote ourselves because we believe in what we do. And I totally agree with what you just said. It's like there's new bands out there and there's new artists that don't really mean much. They haven't got that rich history, and they're not really able to, you know, we played 20,000 people last night and or the other night in Salt Lake City, and it's been getting crazy, and it's you know, probably 21,000 or more already in Tinley Park. So
it's crazy.
It's great.
Well,
it's really, really cool.
Let me ask my last question for you tonight, and you talk about the idea of Def Leppard still being on tour and being able to take care of yourself in the way that you were playing 21,000 people here in Chicago. You know, talk about, you know, as you guys get older and you have to play these big shows that are huge stress on the body, and how do you keep yourself young besides not wearing a shirt?
It depends on who you ask. You know, I stopped drinking 30 years ago. I don't smoke. I don't take drugs. And it really gives me a lot more energy. You know, I'm a vegan. And I know loads of vegans who eat terrible. But, you know, me and my wife, we kind of eat really well, and it kind of, you get rewarded for it. So, and then, you know, constantly working out, not killing myself, but just enough to keep feeling 20 years old. And I like that. You know, I don't ache. I don't kind of creak when I bend over and any of this stuff. And you know, I'll be 60 this year. And it's and I didn't feel this good. Yeah, like I said, when I was 25, I didn't feel this good. So there's something for that. If you want to get rewarded, you have to kind of take care of your body. You know, it's not really a hard price to pay. It's actually, it's great. I'd rather this than being at the hospital and being on prescription drugs and God knows what. So, do a little bit of research on what you put in your body and how you treat your body, and you'll be rewarded. So, yeah, that's great. And you get to play in front of all these people. It's like, come on, it's a no-brainer. It's great.
Well, here's to 60 more years. Guitarist Phil Collin is the guitar player for Def Leppard. Def Leppard at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater in Tinley Park this weekend, Saturday, with Poison and Tesla. Also, this is the 30th anniversary this summer of the record Hysteria. They'll be putting out a box set and a deluxe set through Universal coming up this summer. Phil, amazing to talk to you. Thanks for taking some time out, and good luck on the tour.
Cheers. Thanks.